And we live in a world that seems to lurch from fires to floods, from Olympic Games where everything is right with the world, to wars that divide nations and families and the world. We watch the stock market roller coaster, governments come and go, we've lived through the pandemic. Some people then, how do we make sense of that? And people can devote their lives to working out the forces that are behind all of these things that might manipulate world events from the shadows. And you can go down many rabbit holes on the internet looking for these groups and families and individuals that are darkly shaping our history and our world events. Some people try and work against that by becoming active politically and by being able to sort of change things, influencing the media and government. Many of us just try and get by. That's all we can do is just try and survive. We try and navigate our way through the swirling currents of change, and whatever's going on among the powers that be, we just have to let them go because we are focused on today. But is there something in charge? Is there someone moving and working behind our events and directing the world's affairs? Well, we just read from the book of Revelation where the Apostle John was privileged to get this vision of heaven. And in Revelation chapter 5, we see John recording a vision of God on his throne, and in his right hand is a scroll written on both sides and sealed with seven seals. In John's day, that was true of most important legal documents. They looked like that. Scrolls written and then sealed with wax by the witnesses of those documents. And so the seal could only be broken by the rightful recipient of that document. That scroll there in Revelation 5 represents the full account of God's purposes for the universe. In that scroll is the destiny of the world, where God in his ruling has said that's how things will be. God as the creator and king has set the course of history, and it will achieve the purposes for which he has set it, but his plan's sealed up. That's why we can't work it out. We can't read that scroll. We can't open it. It remains private knowledge unless there's someone who can break those seals and reveal its contents. And so a mighty angel booms in a loud voice in verse 2, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" Now there is a challenge issued to all of creation. Who is worthy to reveal God's plan to the world? I think perhaps over the years there's been quite a few people who have stepped up to have a try at that. Men and women of power and influence and wealth, people who lead nations and empires and religions, they have set the course of history. But this angel's call is like the challenge in the old story. Whoever can remove the sword from the stone is the rightful king of England. And in that story, lots of people had a go, but all failed. Here in heaven, the response to that challenge, anyone in all creation who is worthy to open these seals and be the one who directs the course of history, there's a resounding silence. No one moves. No one volunteers. There is no great emperor or politician, no philosopher, saint, angel, or demon. There's just no one. A stunning, complete silence. The universe is without a champion. God's secret plan remains secret. Not only is there no one to open the scroll and reveal its contents, there's no one then to put it into action, to achieve those purposes of God and to establish his kingdom forever. And we read there that when John sees and hears that deafening silence, he weeps. He's brokenhearted. Verse 4, "I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside." Could God's plans be frustrated? Could we be left without a champion, someone who can bring God's order into a world that's racked with the effects of sin and rebellion? But an elder comes alongside and comforts John. In verse 5, the elder says, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Hearing those words would have brought like real powerful images for John. The lion, the king of the beasts, majestic and powerful, a symbol of royalty. and the root of David is the Messiah, God's chosen one, the king who will conquer and establish God's reign among his people and whose rule will extend to the ends of the earth. John looked up. He's heard lion, king, conqueror, but he sees a lamb. And it's really jarring because it's not just a lamb, it's a slaughtered lamb. He was hearing lion and king, and instead he sees lamb. Now, a sheep, that's vulnerable enough, but a lamb, it's the complete opposite of a lion. A victim rather than a predator. Weak rather than powerful. And this lamb is slaughtered. Just like so many of the lambs used in Israel's worship, it's a sacrifice. What is going on here? And why are we looking at this today on Easter Sunday? We've been looking at pictures of Easter that I've mentioned, events and people and things that God has given us in the Old Testament that point us towards understanding well what happens at Easter. The Passover lamb is one of those pictures, perhaps one of the most well-known ones. Before the people of Israel could be rescued from slavery in Egypt, they sacrificed a lamb and put its blood on the doorpost of their houses. The destroying angel would come and see that blood and pass over that house, protecting those inside. And then for each year following, God said, the Israelites then sacrifice a lamb to remember that great event. Rescued from slavery, brought into the promised land to be God's people. But it's a costly exchange. They were there because of the life of that innocent. The Passover lamb was a picture of what Jesus would do when he comes. That God would lead his people on an even greater exodus, not just from slavery in Egypt, but slavery to death and sin, bringing us out of that into a land of freedom and life. That they would be his people and he would be their God. And it wouldn't be just restricted to one nation at one time or one race, but people from all around the world will be free to join this kingdom. But again, it comes at the cost, the great cost, the life of the innocent. Jesus, a lamb without blemish, who had done nothing wrong, dying in our place. His blood shed on that first Good Friday, Passover, in the Jewish calendar, to cleanse us and to set us free. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, Jesus, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. But he's saying that in the context of reminding Christians that we are free now from the power of sin, that it no longer controls us. It doesn't have the final say anymore, that we are now free to live in a new reality. Now, we normally associate sacrifice with Good Friday, but today's Easter Sunday. It's Resurrection Day, a day of victory. So why do we need to look at the Passover lamb today? Well, the key is here in Revelation 5. Did you notice what the elder said about that Lion of Judah? He has triumphed. He has won the victory. But he wins it paradoxically, doesn't he? By a sacrificial death. And that's why the image of the lamb is so jarring after expecting a lion. Because we don't naturally think that victory is won through death. But that's how God has determined how this victory, the great victory, is won. You know, John hears lion but sees lamb. He hears king but he sees sacrifice. But that's the way this king rules. If you get a chance today, I've posted on the church's Facebook page an article by Stan Grant from the ABC. And he's wrestling with the message of Easter and forgiveness. How do you forgive real and great evil? As he's thought about what's going on in Ukraine, as he thinks about his own people's heritage in Australia, how does that work? How can we overcome that evil? And he reflects that it's only by Jesus' death and resurrection. Because we have seen evil throughout history, and our natural response is to throw more power at it, more money at it, more violence at it. We will eradicate it through any means necessary, and it never ever works. And yet here Jesus comes as the conquering king, and he takes that evil upon himself and dies and then breaks that power. The Apostle Paul, his head's done in by that, and he says that when Jesus dies on the cross, he makes a public spectacle of all those powers in the world that are seeking the death and enslavement of all people. It's the upside down way, or maybe the right way up, of seeing our history. We've tried everything else and it doesn't work. And yet here comes one who lays down his life and in dying conquers. That's our King. He's the fulfillment of that ram caught in the thicket, sacrificed in place of Abraham's son, Isaac. He suffers to conquer. He's the fulfillment of the bronze serpent lifted up in shame on a cross so that all who just look to him are saved. Normally we think of death as defeat, but Jesus' death is a great, complete victory. And his resurrection is vindication of that. Confirmation that he's achieved all that he set out to do. His Father's delight in all that he has done. And this scene in heaven confirms it for us. John wept and wept because he thought there's no one worthy. Then this slain lamb comes forward, takes the scroll, and all of heaven and all of creation and everything under the earth erupts in praise and rings with a new song. Verses 9 and 10. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. The reason the universe has a champion is because Jesus came forward to die, fulfilled his Father's will perfectly, and so he alone is the one worthy to open the scroll, to reveal its contents to the world, to put them into action, to achieve the purposes of God, and to establish his kingdom forever. Jesus is at the center of the universe. Everything hinges on his actions. God's plan for the world is focused on Jesus. He fulfills God's great plan of salvation for the world. History is only understandable in him. The future is only understandable in him. Our present is only understandable in him. And for Stan Grant, it's the only answer to the evils of this world. The events that we particularly celebrate this weekend become the centerpiece of history and eternity. That's when the great victory is won for us. So Hebrews chapter 2 puts it like this, that by Jesus' death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Satan thought he would throw everything at Jesus and destroy him on the cross, and instead that was Satan's undoing. That was when his power was broken. Humanity's greatest enemies, Satan and sin and death, are themselves dealt the death blow at the cross. And having done so, Jesus then plunders Satan's kingdom, frees those slaves, sets them free, brings them into his glorious kingdom of light and life. That's why that song keeps going. With your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You've made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. The blood of the first Passover lamb saved the people of Israel. The blood of this ultimate Passover lamb saves people from every part of the world, bringing them out of slavery to sin and death into the freedom and life of his kingdom. The challenge then goes out to us today. Then are we one of that number? Have we looked to Jesus as our Saviour? Have you recognised his primary place in all things? Do you know that victory that he brings? Recognising that he has triumphed through his death, that his blood has purchased you for himself to set you free for all of eternity. You know, in what seems like an absolutely chaotic world at the moment, we can have assurance that Jesus is in complete control. The comfort the elder gave John is the same comfort for you and me. Don't weep. The lion of the tribe of Judah has triumphed. no matter what you might be going through at the moment. We saw those books there. Bible Society recognises that our area is going through particularly difficult times, but we are always going through hard times. Trials and heartaches and pain and trouble. What we are encouraged by is that every one of those is written on that scroll and is in the hand of your Saviour. He knows what you're going through. If you've committed yourself to Him, He's committed Himself to you and you are safe in His hands. And one writer puts it, the same hands that were nailed to the cross unfold your life story day by day with all His unfailing love and wisdom. His protection and comfort are as sure now as that day that we see when we'll meet Him face to face, when He'll have brought you safely home and will wipe every tear from your eyes. And you'll join the countless millions of angels and redeemed people who will sing these songs, the praises of Him who's worthy to receive all power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and praise. Jesus calls you to be one of that great number through believing in Him. We stop trying to work it out ourselves, stop trying to control things that we just cannot control. Stop trusting in our own sense of goodness or trying to get to heaven by our own good deeds. There's only one in all of creation worthy to take that scroll, Jesus. The rest of us look to Him as our champion and our Saviour. But when we do that, He's promised never to let you go and will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life where you have His promise of life forever. That's what Easter Sunday is all about. It's the victory of the Lamb that's been slain, the victory that you and I can know in Him. We hear King and we see King lived out through a sacrifice, laying down His life out of love for us so that we could belong to Him forever. And I pray that we all know that joy of knowing Him this Easter. So why don't we pray about that? Let's pray. Father, we thank You and praise You that we have been included in this great song in Revelation 5. That's there, our words, that we're able to sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. He receives all good things because He has done all things for us. Thank You that we can have certainty in an uncertain world. Thank You that this isn't just a nice story, but it's reality. Well, we don't see it being played out in the media or in obvious ways, but we see these millions of people putting their trust in the Lord Jesus. We see those people being instruments of His reconciliation around the world. And we thank You that we've been drawn into that kingdom. We've been set free from our fear of death and now live for the One who died for us. Thank You that this is the way to conquer evil. Thank You that this is the way that history is going to play out. It's not going to be left to the devices of powerful people who think that they are going to run things. But instead, we will see justice instead of injustice and wickedness. That we will see reconciliation instead of division. That we will see true forgiveness and true repentance. Lord, we pray that we would see that growing day by day and that we might be part of that as we wait for this great day when all of creation will sing that final song, recognising who Jesus is and what He has done. May we be ready for that day because we pray it in His name. Amen.